Kevin Hagan joins us every Friday. Again, I'm not trying to trick you. We tape it on Thursdays because his job says we have to do it that way. We honor that. He's so good at it. We talk Alabama. Take a listen.
Kevin, let's just begin. You sent me a picture of a location where you were, and you told me it's okay to ask you exactly what was that.
Well, tricky. It was not me. It's from my son, oldest son, Jordan. He is at Nick Saban's camp today with his stepson, my step-grandson, Braylon Arnett, a freshman Jack linebacker out of Scott County High School in Georgetown, Kentucky. For those that don't know, Scott County is a mega football power in the state of Kentucky. And we made it possible. Braylon is down there. Today is the first of 10 high school camps that Coach Saban will have at the University of Alabama, and Braylon is participating. And so excited to follow his future as he looks forward to a college football career. And certainly if it's possible, you can know where I'll be steering him to. But Team Hagan is at Nick Saban Camp 1 today in Tuscaloosa.
How do those camps go? How are they run?
You check in from 8:30 to 10. It goes to 6 at night. Coach Saban is there. He's hands-on. In his address this morning, he talked about the three focuses of the day. Effort, you know, he talks about the fact that you don't have – effort doesn't require talent. Effort comes from the heart, mental toughness, overcoming the heat. You know, it's going to be really hot down there today in Alabama, and kids like Braylon, that's a different environment than what we've been dealing with so far. And just about responsibility and focus to attention, your responsibility to your high school team and doing your job. But, you know, they don't take just everybody that wants to sign up. They cap it to a reasonable level. The assistant coaches are there. Coach Saban's there. They push them hard. There's no physical contact or whatever. But, you know, they work their butt off till 6 o'clock. And, you know, tomorrow's camp and this weekend, you'll start to see, you know, the elite players trickle into the camps. Now, you remember 10, 15 years ago, you know, a lot of recruiting was players had to come to camp and they had to perform at camp and work out at camp in order to get a scholarship to Alabama. That's not quite as much the way that it's run nationally. As things have changed in recruiting, players, sometimes players come and they don't even necessarily participate in the camp. Alabama just wants to see them, weigh them, measure them, and those types of things. But Nick Saban's camps are still an integral part of the recruiting process. And to be honest with you, it's kind of when I begin to kind of focus in on the next recruiting classes when we get to the camps and you kind of focus, because as we've seen over the last few years, Alabama right now sitting at 7 commitments in this current recruiting class. The last couple of years, Alabama has picked up, you know, 14, 15 commits between now and the end of August. So we'll see recruiting really pick up Alabama over the summer.
The coaches on Tuesday and Wednesday in Sandestin, we're discussing various things, but the future scheduling model. And Nick, for many years, espoused for more SEC games, always was trumping for that. And in the last couple of months, he's reversed his thoughts on that. And hey, he's allowed to change his mind. But do you have some insight there?
Yeah, I'm a very strong advocate of going to 9 SEC games with the addition of Texas and Oklahoma. I like the idea of being able to rotate. I think that if you stay, which is rare, if you stay 4 years at an SEC institution, I think you should have the opportunity to play everybody in the conference at least once. I'm crazy enough. I'd be fine if they want to have 10 games in the SEC with the expanded 12-team playoffs. Let's be honest, a one loss in the SEC isn't going to kill you. Obviously, teams like Kentucky, Vanderbilt, the two Mississippi schools have been strong advocates for staying at the 8 teams for obvious reasons. I know people here in Lexington, they don't want to go to a 9th SEC game because, you know, oftentimes it's going to be a game that they're probably not going to win. They'd like to continue to play all the MAC schools that they play out of conference. But I really, really want to see the 9-game SEC schedule built, and I will be bitterly disappointed if that's not where we end up.
But why did Dick reverse his thought pattern on that?
That's a great question. I don't know if he's been lobbied by the schools to go to 8 or what. You know, he's always sending the message of, you know, he was a big advocate of what I said, being able to play everybody in your conference during your career. I can't speak for him because I haven't had, you know, I haven't talked to him about it, obviously. But it's surprising that he would not be the advocate for the 9 games that he was a few years ago. If I had lunch with him, I would tell him I was disappointed he changed his mind.
Here's my thinking. If you're Alabama, you're good either way, right? It shouldn't matter whether it's 8 or 9. If you're what you ought to be, you're in whatever. If it's 10, you're in, right? So
absolutely. I mean, you it can be taken that you're saying, well, maybe we need to play, that extra Tennessee Chattanooga game or whatever on your schedule as opposed to playing another SEC game. Hey, if you're one of the elite teams in the Southeastern Conference, then you should be willing to play 9 games or 10 games. And like I said, I mean, I think if we go to the expanded schedule in the Southeastern Conference, you know, I think we'll get to the point where we're going to see SEC champions, have one loss, not have any undefeated teams. And with the 12-team playoffs, like I said earlier, that's not such a big deal. But here's the bottom line, Bill. I want to see the best teams playing the best teams, okay? I would rather see Alabama play Missouri, who quite honestly I don't give a crap about. But I'd rather watch Alabama play Missouri than watch Alabama play East Tennessee State. I'm just really being honest. How many people are really going to – I mean, I don't mean to knock on the moccasins because I have a lot of respect for Tennessee Chattanooga and what they've accomplished as a program. But how many people have the Alabama-Tennessee Chattanooga game, which, by the way, will kick off at noon on the SEC Network? How many people have that game scheduled, circled on your schedule this year? Oh, I can't wait for that game. Nobody wants to see that, Bill.
Kevin Hagan, every Friday, joins this baseball team hosting starting on Friday today. Your thoughts on that?
Bill, wow. What an incredible change of events. This SEC season, since Jason Jackson took over as the interim head coach, 10-4 record, as you said, hosting a regional for the first time since 2006, 17 years. And it's embarrassing to say that, but it's exciting at the same time. Alabama playing Nichols State tomorrow, Boston College, the 2 seed, Troy, the 3 seed. Alabama beat Troy a couple of weeks ago. Alabama's the 16 seed. I'm excited that they're getting to host a regional. Quite honestly, I was afraid they needed one more win in the Southeastern Conference to get there, but I think they are incredibly deserving of this opportunity. I don't care about the fact that if they win this region, they go to play number 1 Wake Forest and Winston-Salem. Bill, I'll go play the Tampa Bay Rays if we win this series. I'm just so excited for this program and the players and what Jason Jackson has done with this team. And I'll be real honest with you, Bill, you want to put pressure on them, but I like their region, and I really like Alabama's chances to get an opportunity to go face Wake Forest in Winston-Salem.
I keep asking you, just because I know the audience, is there any update on Alabama's line of thinking about the future head coaching position?
No, I think they're going to let it play out to see how the season goes. Greg Byrne, the AD, was asked about that yesterday. And I mean, what else can he say? I mean, we're all terribly impressed with the job that Jason Jackson's done. We're all terribly impressed with the tremendous leadership that these players have shown. Like I've said many times on your show, the players could have just quit, folded their tent. This is ridiculous. They haven't, and that's a tribute to the senior leadership on the team, but it's also a tribute to Coach Jackson. So I think at this point, you know, Greg Byrne's just going to let it play out. And, you know, I will say, I advocated for the Louisville coach last week, but at the same time, you have to respect what Jason Jackson's done. I have total faith, Bill, that Greg Byrne will make the right hire for Alabama baseball and seize this opportunity, like I've talked about many times in your show. Well, since the firing, this is an opportunity for Alabama to make the ultimate commitment to the baseball program. Bill, I want to see Alabama be a perennial top 10, top 15 baseball program. They've proven they've got the facilities. There's no reason, Bill, that Alabama cannot be in the upper third echelon of the SEC in baseball. Let's take this opportunity to make that happen.
I'm only asking this because you're in Kentucky and the Louisville coach is highly successful and is publicly expressed his displeasure with that university's support or lack thereof of baseball. So some make a connection Alabama's a superpower. They can go pay a dude. That's not a problem. Has the chirping calmed down up there? Is there anything new?
No, the chirping has not calmed down. And, you know, there's a lot of baseball talent that comes out of the state of Kentucky, particularly Central Kentucky. And the reality is, and my son and I were just, my son was a very elite high school baseball player. The fact that, you know, in the state of Kentucky, Dan McDonald has pretty much owned the state of Kentucky. Now, the elite players, you know, like Walker Buehler ends up playing for the Dodgers, obviously, but the players that choose not to go to the MLB, Dan McDonald has owned the state of Kentucky, irregardless of who the UK coach is. So there are a lot of UK baseball fans that quietly will tell you they really hope Dan McDonald does decide to pack up the family and move to wherever, because he's been a real pain in their butt here.
Kevin, always good, my friend. Appreciate it.
Always an honor, Bill. Have a great Friday, everybody. And as always, roll tide.
All right, man. Thanks.
Thank you.
Kevin Hagan, there he is. Fantastic. When it's Alabama, when it's info, when it's whatever sport you want to get into, I have done this for decades and decades and even more decades. Nobody covers Alabama thoroughly with true insight than Kevin Hagan. And no, he's not in the business. Not in the business. Doesn't matter to me. There is no prerequisite that says you have to be in the business to get on this show. You have to be really good at what you do. That's important, but you don't have to be in the business. Jim and Jupiter. Bill, I wish Kevin was live. Florida State got a Bama baseball player, and I want to know if he's any good. Yeah, that's the only drawback, but that's we don't have a choice. Kevin did the show live for many, many years, and then his employer, which is the University of Kentucky, told him, and they did have some leadership changes, and whoever came in and took over his department said, don't want you doing radio during your job. And then I remember thinking, okay, Kevin's gone, right? And then I thought, I wonder if he could do it during his lunch break. And that's what we did. So that's what we do. He gets an hour for lunch at his job, and that's what we do, and it's good. Yeah, the – one thing I really like when we're doing interviews is the interaction that comes to me during the interviews and the questioning that comes in. I like that. I want you to push the envelope. I want you to ask questions. When I'm talking to a guest, I can multitask a million different things at one time. None of that stuff bothers me. And if you have a question and you send it in now on the text line, or you send it in on Twitter, and then back in the day on email. I love that. I love when you interject. Well, hey, what about this over here? What about that? I love that. Yeah. So, yeah, Jim, good question. Good question. I don't think I would be able to convey the baseball player you got there in the transfer portal. But there's going to be a lot of that, and they're already posting all these names. There's the other day they said there are – already 600-700 names in the baseball transfer portal. Baseball transfer portal, yes. Kirkland down in Macon, GA. Bill, does Nick Saban see the fall before the collapse with more conference games for Alabama? Not sure I understand that. Let me read that again, Kirkland. Does Nick Saban see the fall before the collapse with more conference games for Alabama? Well, even though I don't quite understand the question, let me say a few things and maybe that answers whatever you're looking for. Nick knows they're going to 9 games. Nick knows this. And it was speculated on one of the media sites that their permanent opponents would be Tennessee, obviously. Auburn would be the most obvious. Then Tennessee. But then they threw in LSU. again, which they already played those three anyways. But going to a ninth game, whoever that would rotate in, and we don't even know if those are the three. We know Auburn is a lock. We know Tennessee's a lock, but we don't know that LSU is a lock. That's not a lock. The first two are. Auburn, once we get to 3-6, Auburn's always a lock, no matter what the schedule is. And then next, priority-wise, it would be Tennessee. So are you asking, is Nick worried about this being the fall of Alabama as we know it? I don't think so. This is a very important year for Alabama. I'm not saying they got to win it all. But we need to see them righted as a national championship threat. Frankly, last year they were subpar by their standards in so many categories. That's just a fact. We've got to see that cleaned up.